On the back table, if you'd like to follow along with an outline and take some notes, you'll see on the screen that there are some words that are bolded and underlined and in italics. And those go in the blanks for you if you'd like to take some notes and fill in the blanks. We join in the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. This is the gospel reading for us today. As we're again moving through this Advent season, hearing from these people that the Lord God has used to bring into existence through his divine work of the incarnation of his Son, the people who are involved in the realities of God's work of grace as it's exercised in their faith. And so we heard about Zechariah and how his faith was challenged in hearing the word of the angel, and then physically dealt with some challenges for those 9 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy until he wrote down on that he wrote on the pad he was given with chalk, his name shall be John, and he could speak again. And last week we heard about Mary and the joy of being given the good news that she would be the one to carry the child of God, God's son, the Messiah. And her faith was challenged, certainly. Now, today we come to Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, and we hear about her words of faith, how her faith is challenged, but how the Lord, like in us, works for the blessing of being a person of faith, which is our reality. Our reality. This is who we are. Zechariah, Mary, Elizabeth, we are people of faith, living today, looking back to the birth of the Messiah, looking forward to the coming again of the Messiah. And we live as people of faith, where reality meets our faith, like with Zechariah. This is the rubber hits the road for us every day, putting into practice that call of faith in Christ Jesus. Even though, like with Zechariah, we can't always see or understand or know, or it's not clear to us, but faith trusts. And with Mary, trusting that the good Lord will overcome in our faith that which is our reality. And all the questions that surround what Mary was experiencing, like we do every day, faith is there. It clings to those promises, and faith overcomes our reality. And today, reality and faith, where faith addresses then our reality. Elizabeth will share some very pointed words of encouragement that are expressions of her faith unto Mary. Because both Mary and Elizabeth find themselves in a very interesting situation. Much like many people today in our culture find themselves. Maybe us today too. Christmas, that celebration, just a bit fuzzy. Not quite in focus, a little off. Maybe there's the disparity between all the bright lights and the hurriedness of shoppers, but yet inside, there's an inner turmoil. And with those that we're anticipating to be with, we're struggling with maybe emotional, relational separation. And how do we deal with that? How do we make sense of that? How do we, as God's people of faith, understand the clarity of God giving his one and only Son as people of faith, and then dealing with the realities of our life and living? This is where faith then addresses to bring into focus the good news that we share. So in verse 39, we hear this word from the Lord. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. This is the reality. Mary is now with child, and she goes to her cousin's house. Zechariah's home, her cousin Elizabeth is there, and they come together now in the realities of who they are as women that the Lord God has chosen to use for his purposes, his plan. But is it really clear, or is it kind of like that fuzzy Christmas tree for these women? Because after all, both of them are involved in an unplanned pregnancy. Neither one of them was planning on this. Elizabeth in her old age never thought about that. And Mary, as a virgin, betrothed to Joseph, she didn't think about this either. Certainly, they both will acknowledge that it's of and from the Holy Spirit, but mystery surrounds this unplanned pregnancy, these two sons that each one of them, these two women, carry. And both of them have in their opportunity to exercise faith the stewarding then of their life, each of theirs, and each of their baby's life as well. This is why Mary leaves, right? She leaves Nazareth and she goes south to Zechariah's home where she meets Elizabeth, her cousin, because part of that concern for Mary is her life. She could be stoned to death if her community found out that she was pregnant out of wedlock. And the baby's life then would be taken. God's plan possibly thwarted there. Elizabeth too. What are people going to say about her? Her well-being, her sense of emotional stability made fun of by her neighbors that she's claiming to be pregnant in her old age. Come on, Elizabeth, you're off your rocker. Both of their lives are needing to be stewarded. They need to be stewards of what God has given them in themselves and in these babies. Well, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, so that in a loud voice, she proclaims, well, what does she proclaim? In those words she uses to extol and praise the Lord, what we hear Elizabeth, she's crying out in such a way that blesses the Lord. A blessing unto the Lord, even in her condition. And in that blessing, she's recognizing that the Lord God is the one who bestows this blessing. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here, how you can make an old lady like me with child, but you've done this, and let's bless your name. And recognize that it's a blessing from you for your purposes. Wow. How about you? Well, me. When we're not quite clear about what's going on out there, when life's a little bit fuzzy, even the Christmas celebration isn't quite in focus, how do we respond? Do we respond like Elizabeth? Blessed be the Lord! He's the one who bestows these blessings upon me. Do we even see him as blessings? Or right away, like last week we talked about the Grinch, right? This old Mr. Grinch in our spirit starts sneaking in there. And that's where the devil, right? Our enemy would sneak in, creep in, take a hold of us. And then the blessings that God would give to us just remain fuzzy, out of focus. Maybe we don't even see them or want to acknowledge them. Our sin, my sinfulness, chooses to address my reality rather than the blessing and the gift that God's given to us as people of faith. Now, we've repented of that today, and we've given it unto the Lord. And for this we are forgiven, and we know this. And so we hear the word of the Lord today that brings us past that which is unclear and fuzzy and out of focus for us. And he moves us into a reality in which faith, that gift that you've been given, addresses then our reality. A reality that's based out of the good Lord's gift of grace and life in his one and only Son. The reason why we light candles and we decorate and we buy packages and we're part of those hurrying crowds and we have Christmas trees, all of that is for the reality that God, our Heavenly Father, has given to us in our reality that which we need. A Savior, his Son, our Savior. And that Savior, boy, that Jesus addresses the totality of our reality. Isaiah would put it this way in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 11, that the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Now, who is this righteous one but Jesus? And who is the Lord Almighty's praise but his one and only Son? And we who are brought into that Son through the righteousness of Christ the Lord, so we too are his righteous ones, forgiven and cleansed, and with the reality of our lives clearly in focus because of the faith that we possess, so our hearts. Our hearts join with Elizabeth. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty, on whom he bestows all the blessings that I've been given in life, even if they're not quite clear. But as a person of faith, where this gift of salvation and a relationship with Jesus, where faith is lived out, it brings into clarity then that which we are celebrating. The birth of Jesus. He who has been given to me, that I might be claimed as a daughter, a son of the Father on high. That I might be an inheritor of the kingdom with Jesus. And that I'm ready for his return. I'm not fearful of that. We're not fearful of that. In fact, we pray for it. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, as the people of the early church would say. Come, Lord Jesus. Make everything new and bring into perfect clarity unto life everlasting the purposes for which, Jesus, you've come and given yourself unto death for my salvation. And why, Father, you would raise your Son from death to life. And Holy Spirit, you'd call me into that life. Bring it into such clarity then that the message of my life, well, it might be one like Elizabeth's. Like Elizabeth's. Caring for her cousin Mary, who's made this 50 or so mile trip to see and hide for a little while in the house of Zechariah with her cousin Elizabeth. To echo what Elizabeth gives to Mary, that faith addresses the realities of our lives, and we have the opportunity to carry that message to the world. We hear that in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed. She wasn't quiet about it. She let it be known. She made sure, Mary, you hear this. Zechariah, if you're in the other room, I want you to pay attention to this too. Of course, this isn't just Elizabeth, right? It's the Holy Spirit at work in Elizabeth to help Mary. Where faith, the faith of Elizabeth, helps address the reality of Mary. And of course, in that, Elizabeth is speaking to herself too. Because our faith, as we care for others, speaks to our needs as well. Elizabeth would say, "Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the child you will bear." Or, in other words, as faith addresses reality, Elizabeth is saying something like, "Let me provide a God-focused reminder to you, Mary." Let's not get things out of perspective here and out of proportion. Let's grasp this reality as it's addressed in faith. This is what God is doing. Let me be a reminder to you. Maybe there's some people in your life, maybe some people that you're going to be spending Christmas with, that might need a gentle reminder of that. Let me remind you how God is providing for you. And Elizabeth would go on and say, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Elizabeth asks this question to Mary. And maybe what she's putting in perspective there as faith addresses reality is, "Let me ask you, Mary, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? This is your situation and your reality. How can I help you? What do you need that will allow your faith now also to get a grasp on your reality?" And maybe that's some of the expectation that helps bring into clarity the reason why we celebrate this season is, ultimately, isn't that what our Heavenly Father, in a way, asks us? What can I do for you? How can I help you? We need a Savior. I can give you that. Here's my Son. And so maybe the conversations that we have with people where things are a little bit out of focus in our emotions and in inner turmoil, it starts with that kind of God question, right? Our Father's question. What can I do for you? Elizabeth would go on in verse 44, "And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears," she says to Mary, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Let's be reminded, as faith addresses our reality, let me express that this is reality and it is good because the Lord God is good. Yeah, Mary, you're in an unplanned pregnancy. You had no idea that this was going to be a part of your life 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago. But here we are. And remember that this is good because this is of God's plan. So let that faith that you've been given address this reality in the blessing for which it's meant to be. Maybe this isn't necessarily something that I'm going to have an opportunity to share with somebody over the Christmas celebration, but maybe this is a message that really now hits home for us, for you, each one of us individually. To be reminded, God works all things for good to those who love him, who are serving according to his purposes, right? That truth addresses the reality through our faith. And then Elizabeth would say, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord Almighty would fulfill his promises to her. Mary, let's bless the Lord together as he is working this out. Together we walk as people of God, as together faith, the faith that we've been given, addresses the realities of our life. The unknowns that we've been given, the things that we're struggling with, the things that are worrying us, maybe seeking to put Christmas out of focus a little bit. Together, as a community of faith, we walk together. And our faith addresses the reality that we've each been given unto the glory of the Lord. And you know what Mary does after all this? In verse 46, Mary says, and we go into what we've called throughout the church's history, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. What she's saying, in essence, is, Lord God, you are working all this out for good. Thank you for giving me my cousin Elizabeth to remind me where faith is addressing reality. This is my reality, and I live in faith. My soul magnifies the Lord. We're going to sing that in just a moment at our, as we close worship today in a rendition of the Magnificat. So as we're singing and as we're closing our time together, may your voice be lifted up with Mary's in this joy of the word of the Lord, to know that our faith addresses our reality and brings into perfect clarity the purpose for which the Lord God has given to us his one and only Son, in whose mission we live. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then Mary returned home with a fresh new perspective of reality. That's what faith does. Faith meets, or reality meets faith, and faith addresses our reality. In your life and mine, our Heavenly Father has given to each one of us that blessing of a living faith. A faith that proclaims with Elizabeth the praises of our God because this is his good work. And professes with Mary, our souls praise the Lord. And together, as people of faith, we walk in that unity of the Lord God Almighty, where he perfectly addresses our reality. A reality that soon will be a life with him unto eternity. One day, not sure when, but one day, and soon. And very soon, we're going to see the King. And what a day that will be when our reality is all about our faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the joy of hearing your word and your word addressing to us today the realities of our life and living. We live in this blessing of faith as you have called us through the Spirit in Jesus to be your sons and daughters of your kingdom, Lord God. And you bring into focus then that which you are working in our lives, where faith can address this reality to see your good plan coming out. As we have an opportunity to care for others in our midst and speak words of encouragement like Elizabeth did to Mary, and like both of these dear women of faith express their glories to you, may our lives be reflected in all of this too, O Lord. For we know that you love us and care for us. And we know that you're working your mission out through us in the joy of being claimed as your ambassadors. So be glorified in us, O Lord, in the celebration of Christ the Lord's coming, Jesus our Savior, in Bethlehem, and one day again. In Jesus' name we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in faith, as faith addresses our reality unto the Lord and his purpose. And may you know that peace now, from now unto life everlasting, as he brings us to be with him one day unto eternity. In Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.